Because I believe that something happens when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus that stirs our faith, that stirs up our hope, that stirs up our courage, stirs up our confidence, that reminds us of how big he is and how little our problems are. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I love the time of corporate worship together and feeling the presence of the Lord together. I have a paper here I'm going to pass around. Tina's been working on our directory, and so we are trying to get a book put together where we have all the names and addresses and phone numbers of everybody that's in the church. So I'm going to pass it around. I want you to check your name and address, make sure everything is correct on it. If you don't see your name in there, if somehow we've overlooked it, please add it. If there's somebody that you see that's not in there that should be, make a note of it. We want to make sure that we include everybody and get your best contact information. Amen. So I'll just pass this around. You pass it on. And if you've not given us your phone number yet and you would like to, we have a one-call system. Now it comes across as OnSolve, I believe. It's an 877 number. So when you see that number, I'm not a telemarketer. I am calling you to give you some information. Okay, on that, if you are not getting the phone calls, please let me know. For whatever reason, every now and then we get a glitch and it doesn't go out right or whatever. So we're working on all of that. So if you want to be included in our phone tree system, that's what we use to make announcements and prayer requests. There is an option on there. At any time you want to opt out of that, all you have to do is opt out. And you won't be included in those messages. So not every week, no, just as we need to make an announcement or a prayer request or something like that. So if sometime you need prayer and you want it sent out to the whole church to pray or an announcement, if you get a hold of me or one of us, any of our elders, and Pastor Trish, any of them, if you get a hold of them, we will see to it gets on a prayer chain line. A lot of times when it comes out, if it comes out after like 8 o'clock at night is our cutoff, we'll put it on the Facebook, which is our private page. So if we put it on Facebook prayer request, it only goes to our private page of those who were included in that page. So if you see it come out on Facebook, it didn't go out on all of Facebook. It only comes out on our private page. And also, if you're included in our Facebook page, you have the opportunity at any time to put a prayer request on there as well, or an announcement or something. So you can go on there, put on there what you need. If you're not connected to Facebook, that's okay. That's why we have the phone tree, so we can make sure that we can keep everybody connected the best we can. Amen. So thank you to Tina for working on our directory, and hopefully we'll get that in paper form so everybody can have it and you can send cards to all of your friends. Amen. Amen. Well, I messed the girls up already back there because I've changed up my scriptures, but this is where I feel like we need to go this morning. And this particular scripture I have shared so many times in the last week, and the Lord dropped it in my heart again this morning at the altar, and I was like, okay, that's where I'm going this morning. So maybe I need to hear this, maybe you need to hear this, or maybe somebody watching online or listening later on podcast needs to hear this word. But I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. If you're turning in your Bibles, you can turn there or your device, or we'll put it on the screen, or however it is that you get scriptures. Amen. I hope you all still have a hard copy of the Bible in your home, right? This is quick, but you know, sometimes in reading your scriptures, the relevance of the chapter before and after is important. So what happens sometimes when we're using just our devices to look up a scripture, you're not always getting context. You're not always getting what's before it and after it. And so I encourage you to do that as well. And I hope you have a Bible at your house, but here's what I really hope. I hope you have the Bible in your heart. Amen? Because you need, David said, I will hide his word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. If you are in a situation where you don't have signal and you don't have your Bible, do you have a word? Do you have a scripture? Do you have a thought? Do you have something that you can use and share the gospel of Jesus? Amen? And I believe that when we come together and we hear the word of God in our services and we hear the messages and the sermons, I pray and believe that it plants a seed in your heart. And what the work of the Holy Spirit does is when it needs to cause that seed to come alive, it'll stir up that ground. Amen? And there'll be times that God will stir up. Sister Linda was just sharing with me this morning when I walked out the house, the Lord dropped a scripture in my mind. How many know that's how God speaks to us? Through his word, through worship, through the word, through encouragement, and maybe to be a word in due season to someone else. And so, you know, as I was thinking this morning and as I've been pondering many things, I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 6, like I said, verse 1 through 23, I believe. And I want to share this scripture, and I've shared it actually with some of you, but I feel to share it with the whole group this morning. And it says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? Where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it." That's an interesting part of that scripture. It's really the first part, not exactly what I want to go to, but I love that scripture because how many know we're dealing here with the prophet Elisha, who was the protege or the successor of Elijah. And Elisha has just received the mantle of Elijah. How many know Elijah is the man who called down fire from heaven and did the healings and the multitudes of the miracles that he did? But how many know he desired what Elijah had, and he said, if you see me when I go, you will receive a double portion of what I have. How many know Elijah was a type of old covenant prophet? Elisha was a type of the new covenant prophet. He was a type of Jesus. He was a type and shadow of Jesus, where Elijah was a type of old covenant prophets. How many know in the New Testament when Jesus came, they were looking for Elijah to come? And Jesus said to them, Elisha will come and has come in the form of John the Baptist. How many know John the Baptist was the last of the old order, old covenant prophets? And so Elisha comes along, and this is one of the first miracles that happened. How many know they're about ready to cross over the Jordan? How many know that's where John the Baptist and Jesus was when we first see the introduction of John and Jesus together, right? They're at the Jordan. How many know that's a type of old covenant and new covenant, a type of old order prophet and Jesus, right? And they're at the Jordan. And it's at the Jordan that Jesus comes to John, and he says, I need to be baptized of you. And John said, Not so. I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. And Jesus says, Let it be so, so that the works of God might be manifest, the scriptures might be fulfilled. Amen? And John baptizes Jesus with water, but he says to them, There's one coming mightier than I who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. How many knew Jesus was about to introduce the introduction of the new covenant and the baptism not only of water, but of spirit, of Holy Ghost, and with fire? So we see that picture on the bank here, and it says they're getting ready to build on the other side of Jordan. How many know Jesus was getting ready to build on the other side of Jordan? When he came up out of the Jordan, the scripture says that the heavens opened and the Father said audibly from heaven, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right? And so when Jesus and John step into the Jordan, how many know our heavenly mercy seat stepped into that Jordan? And in the old covenant, when the mercy stepped into the Jordan, the waters rolled back. But in the new covenant, the heavens rolled back. And the affirmation of the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How many know the scripture doesn't tell us that Jesus had ever done one miracle? Never opened one blind eye yet. It doesn't tell us of anything that Jesus had done up to this point, but the affirmation of the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. While they're chopping down trees to build on the other side of Jordan, an axe head comes off. I mean, no, they didn't have chainsaws. Yeah, they had axes. Axes, hatchets, whatever. The axe head comes off and it goes into the water. And the man cries, alas, my master, it was a borrowed axe. This axe has been borrowed. And he says, therefore, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. There's a scripture over in the New Testament that says, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. How many know what we are building on this side of Jordan is not something in the natural, it's something in the spirit of what Jesus is about to build. And the axe is laid to the root of the tree, that fig tree that was cut off. But what I love about this is when he wants to cause that axe head to float, he throws a stick into the water. And a lot of times when we talk about the stick, we talk about the root of the stem or the branch, Jesus being the branch. You know the scripture about he was the root of Jesse and the branch. And I think that this is a picture not only of the power of the prophetic word, but if he can make an axe head float, how many know he sees your situation? Amen. He sees your situation. I think I told you last week, everybody, you know, wants to walk on water. And I heard a guy say the other day, he walked on water. He said, but if the ice is too thin, you got to be careful about how you walk on water, right? So everybody can walk on water when it's frozen, but not everybody can walk on water when it's water. But he causes this miracle for them. And he said, therefore, take it up to thee. And he put it out in his hand and he took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall my camp be. So the king of Syria is at war with Israel, okay? And Elisha is from Israel. And he said, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this king, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So what's happening is when the king of Syria is coming out against the people of Israel, and he gets ready to come, God would reveal to Elisha the prophet and say, he's going to be in such and such a place. And they would go back to the king of Israel and say, don't go there because the king of Syria has plotted against you. And this happened time and time again. And finally, the king of Syria says, okay, who's the mole? Who is giving out the secrets? Who is telling them our battle plan? Who is giving the information out to the enemy? And I don't know about you this morning, but I believe that God still speaks in those ways. Yeah. How many of you believe God can still speak and said, don't go there. Yeah. Don't stop there. Don't hang out there. Because the Holy Spirit, the prophetic word in us, can warn you, can speak to you, and give you direction in your life. Anybody in here ever prayed for direction? Needed to know what to do? Needed to know what the next step was? And he said, don't go there because the king of Syria is going to be there. And they said, the king of Syria finally said, okay, we need to know who is telling the secrets. Who's giving out the information? Who's the mole? Because every time that they would get ready to go, they would circumvent it. They would not go there. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. How many now, that's pretty detailed. He said, it's Elisha the prophet that is telling the very thoughts of your heart. How many know the Spirit of God in you can discern the thoughts and intents of people's hearts? How many know it discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart? And it said, they're telling him what you're even thinking. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Now my question to you is, if Elisha already knew every move of the Syrian king, do you think he knows they're on the way to his house? It doesn't tell us that he does. But how many know sometimes when it comes to our house, we can get caught off guard. But my guess is Elisha already knows they're coming. And said, so they come at night and they encampassed round about with horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and going forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Let me say that in common language. Good Lord, what are we going to do? Has anyone in the house ever said that lately? Good Lord, what are we going to do now? When, if you have not said it over anything else, probably in the last year of COVID, you've probably said, good Lord, what now? What are we going to do? What is the next step? How do we move from here? You know, and sometimes it's not even our own steps we're trying to direct, but sometimes even direct the steps of others. We become caretakers, or we become in charge of other people's decisions sometimes. And it's like, okay, Lord, what do we do? What is the next step? How's this going to turn out for the good? Have you ever been there? How in the world is this going to turn out for the good? Because there's sometimes we walk through situations and we say, why, Lord? And yet we do that a lot of times because we are so focused on the army that's ahead of us and what we see right here more than we are what we see here. And I don't know about you, but I have shared and prayed with many people in the last little while and said, I want your focus to be on what you see, the great host of heaven that is encompassed round about you. Lord, open our eyes to see beyond what we see right here. See, I don't think it caught Elisha off guard, but how many know it caught the servant off guard? And he might have known about the axe head that just floated. And he might have known about some of the miracles. But have you ever experienced God in your life so strong and see the miracles of God in your life, and yet you face the next obstacle and we say, okay, Lord, what are we going to do now? Like God only has a time limit and his grace runs out when we get to the big obstacles and we wonder, God, where are you in this? And the fact of the matter, he is right smack dab in the middle of us. Yeah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what? Mighty. Not just me. The Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. So the next time you wonder where he's at, you got to put your hand on your heart and feel his heartbeat, because he is mighty in you. He is mighty inside of you. He's mighty in the midst of your chaos. He's mighty in the midst of your crisis. He's mighty in the midst of your suffering. He's mighty in the midst of whatever we face. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Oh, we got to try that again. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is
mighty.
That sounded so much better. But how many know that's sometimes what we sound like? Mighty. Mighty. Do you feel mighty today? Come on, somebody. Mighty, 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 mighty. Good. How you got to stir up some camp cheers when you don't know what else to do. Mighty, 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 good. Huh? Because most days we're better than what we say we are. Come on, somebody. Most days we're better than what we say we are. And I'm not saying that our life is not without struggles, but I want to tell you that God works in the middle of chaos. God moves in the middle of crisis. God moves in the middle of storms. I shared that scripture not too long ago that when Jesus comes out of feeding the multitude with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many know Jesus does that miracle on the heels of going out into the wilderness for a while after the death of John the Baptist? His friend and his cousin, his family passed away. They beheaded him. And Jesus gets word of that, and he says to his disciples, come ye apart and let's rest a while. He said they didn't hardly even have as much as time to eat. How many know in the midst of grief and mourning and what would seem like a bad season, Jesus pulls his disciples aside with him for a little bit. And he said, let's just rest a while. I mean, there's sometimes that you got to go to a quiet place and you got to draw yourself aside with Jesus and let him speak to you. But then at coming out of that place, Jesus does one of the greatest miracles where he feeds 5 loaves and 2 fish. And feeds a multitude. And then he says to the disciples, now go take up the fragments that are left over. Only Jesus can take 5 loaves, 2 fish, and have 12 basketfuls left over. Any mathematicians in here? Somehow that does not quite add up. Not even on the calculator. But he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds a multitude. And he tells the disciples, take up of the fragments that are left. How many disciples were they? 12. Because what Jesus does is he gives to you, and you give to the multitude. But in giving to the multitude, he brings back to you, Tina already told you this morning, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus is the only one that can take 5 loaves, 2 fishes, feed 5,000, take up 12 baskets full, and have everyone to take a basket full back home to their house. But here's the deal. The scripture said, they didn't go back home. He said to them, immediately they got into the ship. He said, get in the ship and go to the other side. And so they immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately they got in the ship and they went to the other side. And it's in the middle of that trip to the other side that the storm arises. And it's a storm of epic proportion. Hurricane Elsa is about to hit, right? Now, these guys are fishermen, and they know how to handle a boat. Was there some wind down there? They were just down near some of those winds. I said, peace be still in Jesus' name. How many know when the wind starts to blow and there's chaos and the storm is arising? Jesus never changed his mind about his directive. What was it? Get in the boat and go to the other side. But in the middle of that, the winds were boisterous. Here's what I want to say and remind you about this. Everybody say immediately. Immediately, he told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. You ever tell your kids to get in the car? Nobody? Get in the car. And 20 minutes later, you're still trying to get them in the car. Get your shoes on. I can't find them. You have 3,000 pairs. Just find a pair. Get in the car. My mom would say, I'd say, Mom, do you know where my shoes are? She said, I didn't wear them last time. wherever you wore them last time, that's where they are. And we say to them, get your bath, it's time for bed. Immediately, right now, is what we mean, right? Right now. Get your bath and get to bed. 2 hours later, you're still saying, I need a drink of water. I gotta pee. Could you read me one more story? I mean, that's not immediately. Immediately means right now. Immediately, they got in the boat. And when the storm began to rise, they were fearful and afraid. Why? Because they began to focus on the storm and not the directive. Get in the boat and go to the other side. How many of Jesus planned and intended to meet them on the other side? But at their feet, in that boat, had to be 12 baskets full of fragments left over. And here's what I want to remind you of. It sometimes when you can be in the middle of the boat and be in the middle of the storm and be in the middle of chaos, I always tell you, you got to look up, right? You got to look up. You got to focus higher. You got to look to the heavens. But how many know sometimes you got to look at your feet? You got to look at where you're been, where you've been. Because on the floor, in the boat, in the middle of the storm, is the evidence of 12 baskets full of fragments left over that he just fed the multitude with. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm guilty of sitting there with the bread between my feet and forgetting the faithfulness of God that's in the boat with me. These guys were fishermen. They had seen storms before. And we walk through things sometimes, but how many know you sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. God, I thank you when there wasn't any food in the cupboard, but you provided. I thank you when the house payment was due and we didn't have money to pay it, and we never missed one. I thank you, God, when you made the car run a little bit longer because we didn't have finances to get another one. I thank you, God, when my kids were sick with fevers in the night that we could pray and cry out to you, God, and you would move on their behalf. I thank you, God, for the times I've prayed covering over my families. I thank you, God, for the times that I've come into the house of worship and felt your presence. I thank you, God. Sometimes I got to look down and say, yeah. There it is, the evidence of God's faithfulness. Where he took, the disciples said, I have no idea what we're going to do. 200 penny worth might feed our little crew, but it's not going to feed this multitude. Because we underestimate the goodness and the faithfulness of God sometimes in our lives. And we all do it from the pulpit to the door. Sometimes we get shaken, we get rattled. And we've got to remind ourselves, at my feet, there's a basket of fish and bread that you've already done. And immediately, my focus needs to be on what you've done and what you can do. And it said, and he answered, alas, my master, how shall we do? Our good Lord, what do we do now? And he answered, and here's what I want you to hear today. And he answered, fear not. Everybody say that. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Good Lord, Master, what do we do now? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Lord, wake up, wake up. Don't you care that we perish? How many know if Jesus was at rest, we can be at rest. But he said, good master, what shall we do? And the prophet prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And encompassed around that host of the Syrian army was the host of heaven and chariots of fire. And I want you to know in these days that we have walked through, I have prayed that prayer over many and said, I want you today to just focus on the host of heaven that is encompassed round about this room, this service, this funeral, this crisis. That if we can focus on the host of heaven that's encompassed round about us, we can look beyond where we are right now and see the host of heaven standing on our behalf. You know, I love the picture all the time that when Jesus is betrayed in the garden and Peter pulls out the sword and he wants to cut off the ear of Malchus. You know, Peter, he's the stinker for Jesus. He's always in some kind of trouble. He's a big talker, but he's always seems like he's in some kind of trouble. I like him because I'm a lot like him. You know, we have the strength, you know, and he's the guy that says, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven has given you this great revelation, Peter. And on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in the same chapter he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because yeah. Peter's a stinker for Jesus. He likes rascals. Jesus likes rascals. But he pulls out the sword and he wants to cut off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know that I can call legions of angels right now at my dispense to come and rescue me? But for this purpose I came. And when I hear that scripture, I can't do it without hearing swords drawn and metal clanging. And when the host of heaven says, when Jesus says, I have the power right now to call the host of heaven on my behalf, and I feel hear every sword of every angel Gabriel that stands on the right side of the throne pulls a sword and said, you say the word master and we come. But he said, but for this purpose I came. And every sword goes back in its sheath. And they await the days to come. I want to tell you, there's a host of heaven that can encompass round about us. In the midst of fear, doubt, and chaos, and opposition. I want you to think about that this morning in terms of our country. We look at our country sometimes and we say it's in such a mess. And we see the enemy on every hand, and we see chaos, and we see threats, and we feel unsettled. But that's what you see when you look here. But the prophetic voice is saying to you this morning, open their eyes, Lord, that they might see what I'm doing in the heavens. Because I believe encompassed round about this country of the United States of America, there is a host of the heavens and chariots of fire. Because I still believe God is on the throne. He's still in charge. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. And so when we focus on what's happening here, we lose focus on the basket that's between our feet and the host of heaven and the chariots of fire that encompass round about us. Lord, open our eyes that we can see what you're doing and what you're shifting and what you're moving. Because here's the thing, if we don't shift and move with what he's doing, we'll stay where we were before this all happened. But I believe God is moving us out of that place, and he's shifting things, and he's reorganizing things, and he's moving things around because God has big plans for us. How many believe God has big plans for us? And for your life and for your families. Hallelujah. Open our eyes, Lord, that we can see the host of heaven and the chariots of fire encompass. Hebrews 12. You say, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Hebrews 12 says, seeing then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. How many know it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith? Here's the thing. If you're an author, you get to choose how the ending of the book goes. You get to choose the ending. And if you read the book, it says he wins. He was victorious at the cross. I mean, some of us need to read the end of the book and then go back and read the beginning. My sister Terry rarely ever reads a book that she don't read the ending of it first. I said, you ruined the suspense. She said, I can't help it. I got to know the ending before I read the book. I mean, if you know how it ends. Anybody ever been a spoiler on the movie? You're going to go see a movie and somebody tells you how it ends? She's a spoiler. I can say that about her because she's downstairs. She don't know I'm talking about her. But how many know sometimes it does us good to read the end of the book because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. I've heard testimonies in here about the host of heaven encamped round about those who fear him. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Here's what I like about this story. I like a whole lot about that story, actually, but here's what I like about this story is he smites them with blindness. I mean, there's a lot of people around us today that are blind to what God is doing. He smites them with blindness, and then he leads them into the camp of their enemy. And he gets there, and the king of Israel said, Prophet of God, what do you want me to do? You want me to slay him? You want me to, you know, you want me to kill him? And he said, no. Would you have normally done that with your enemy? He said, I led him here to you. He said, feed him bread and water. Wow, that don't work out too good, does it? That blows our mind out of the safety zone. Because why everybody wants to speak hate and vengeance and division in our country. You know what the prophet says? You know what the prophetic word in this season is? Give them some bread and water. Yeah. Feed them. Yeah. Give them bread and water. How many of Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. How many of Jesus was that water? Yeah. He took that bread on the night of his the night of the Passover, and he said to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. How many know Jesus was the bread? He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Manna was temporary. They ate manna, but they're dead. They had heavenly food. Manna from heaven. Bread is manna from heaven. Right? Especially with butter and jelly on it. He said, they had manna from heaven in the wilderness, but they're dead. I am the true bread that came down out of heaven, whereof if men will eat of this bread, they will live and not die. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying instead of trying to conquer the enemy in the crowd and constantly point out the issues around us, how about if we just start serving some bread? Some water, some bread and wine. Because the scripture says if your enemy's hungry, what? And our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the things that we see that are contrary to the word of God. And the things that are, the things, enemies in my life sometimes would be my doubt. I don't know if I have a lot of enemies. Y'all might know better than me. My enemies most of the time that I struggle with are not my neighbor or my family. It's this stinking thinking. It's fear. It's disappointment. It's guilt. It's shame. It's hopelessness. So what are you saying, Pastor? Start giving it bread and water. Start presenting Jesus to your enemies. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Take that fear. Yeah. I will. will not leave you comfortless. I'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Take that mourning, take that grief. There you go. How do you feed your enemies bread and water? What does a word say? He cast out doubt. He cast out fear. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers my sins. What? No more. So you can't bring up my past. Take that shame. Take that unforgiveness. That's what bread and water is. Feeding your enemies bread and water. Amen? That's how we conquer that enemy. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. When it came to pass, when they came into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, but open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when we saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. One place in there, he says to the host of the Syrian army, he said, you came to the wrong city. And he smote him with blindness. He said, I will take you to where you need to go. And he takes them into the camp of Samaria and to the king of Israel. That's what I want to say this morning to our enemies. You came to the wrong city. You came to the wrong city. Because I'm not going to live in fear and doubt and turmoil. Because they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see and declare today, hey, enemy, if you're coming after me, you're going to get bread and water because you have come to the wrong city. When there's turmoil in your house, you say, you came to the wrong city. Yeah. There's turmoil in your life, in your job, in your church, or wherever you're at. You came to the wrong city. Hallelujah. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. I hope that encourages your heart as much as it does mine, because the scripture declares to us that we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. It's not that we hear anything we don't already know, but how many know sometimes we need reminders of those things? And sometimes we need to know that the host of heaven is camped round about right here. How many know you are messengers of God? Hallelujah, that you are messengers of God. As Beth begins to play, let's... She needs piano on back here. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. If you need special prayer this morning, if you need to kneel at an altar for salvation or Holy Ghost or refreshing, whatever it is you need, he's here. He's available. He's right now. Hallelujah.